Hello and welcome to Melopod from the team behind Not Often Heard, which is our weekly look at Melodifestivalen, Sweden's contest to pick their song for Eurovision. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name is Alex.
And we are on to semi-final number 3 out of 4. And, I don't know about you two, but I struggled a little bit this week.
I was hoping for third time lucky, but no such luck.
Yeah, this one was a bit of a snore fest, which isn't the fault of the music acts. We should say that.
Shall we?
But not all of it.
We will
Let's
start.
Get into that.
We'll get into first of all our guest host for this week, which was Timbuktu, was the artist. Along with obviously Krista Bjorkman, who's presenting every show this season because it happens to be his final one. And I feel we've gone backwards, to be honest. I don't know about you two, but I don't know, something's wrong.
I feel that it's very easy to compare one thing by what you've experienced before. Think about last week's episode. Our two hosts that we had. We had, was it Anis and
Oscar?
Yeah.
Oscar's here.
Yeah. Anis and Oscar. Fantastic opening. Great chemistry. Great stage presence. That is a tough act to follow in terms of a hosting gig.
True.
I think you're absolutely right.
So we end up with them.
We really didn't. Just not the one.
So we ended up with Timbuktu as our co-host, starting off with a Regency style kind of song, I think.
Boring.
Called The Girl and the Crow.
Snorefest.
It was an odd beginning. Very strange. And as I said, his chemistry with Krista was okay, but a little bit, I don't know, just felt a little bit awkward at times. I'm not quite sure. Alongside that, we had lots of looking back to 2002. The postcards were all kind of centred around 2002. What were you doing then? Which is obviously when the revamped version of Melfest started, when Krista took over as the producer of it. And obviously this is his final year doing it. So I'm sorry, but it felt a little bit self-indulgent that this is Krista's last hurrah and we want to give a bit of screen time and reference this repeatedly. And I just think, yes, okay, you've done 20 years in the job. That's a great achievement. You've done fantastic shows. Oh, come on. It's still a show. Let's crack on with that. As a vehicle for celebrating Krista, I just didn't think it was the best. Could have been done better.
Probably not.
No, I think a lot of the viewers that'll be watching it, you know, although they would remember potentially the older style of Melfest, a lot of them wouldn't. For a lot of them, this is the only style of Melfest that they know. And I think, yes, look back, but it was maybe a little bit too self-referential at times.
Yeah.
Alongside that, we had Sweden's answer to Trevor and Simon, I think, or something like that, or Dick and Dom.
Dick and Dom.
Doing some comedy skits in trying to sneak into the Melfest studio so they could get close to Krista, and because he's worth millions, apparently, and they want a little bit of money. You want to fleece him a little, or something like that.
I didn't care for the vignettes, particularly like the opening one, because I felt like it focused far too much on them having to deal with the changes with the whole COVID situation. And for me, you know, Melody Festival and Eurovision, you know, they're supposed to be kind of joyous moments. I don't think, as much as, you know, we are having to think about it, like, we need a bit of a distraction. We don't really need a reminder that, you know, that's happening.
Mm. But there were some funny moments, including the bit where they ripped a piece of his trousers by accident and he went on stage with his part of his bum on show, which bum I thought cheek. Was quite funny. I like that he was able to have a bit of fun at himself.
Myself and Silent Social Media Bob thought it was hilarious when he was glued to Krista Bjorkman's shoulder and he had to go on stage with him. We actually did LOL at that point.
Look at Mark trying to get down with the cool kids, saying things LOL.
None of the cool kids say LOL anymore.
I know, that's the point.
I'm sure.
That's the joke.
Shall we commence looking at the songs?
Yes.
Okay, song number one, Charlotte Perelli, Still
Young. I mean, if you're going to start with anything, this is a good one to start with, because, I mean, it's Charlotte Perelli. Like, come on.
Of course, Charlotte is no stranger to the Eurovision stage, having competed in 1999 for Sweden and winning with Take Me to Your Heaven. And
yep.
coming back
I wish
in...
she was still a Nielsen.
Oh, she was. And obviously in 2008 with the song Hero. So, Alex, what did you think?
Well, obviously the two songs, Take Me to Heaven and Hero, are two very different ones. And as we know, one was definitely more successful than the other.
Mm.
This, I think, is the Charlotte Perelli that, you know, we know and love. This is definitely, if she pops up, this is what we kind of want for it.
Yes, she delivered.
I thought it was definitely, it was Eurovision to a T.
Absolute banger. What did you think, Mark?
Yeah, absolute banger, as you say. From the moment she came on stage, you were like, oh yeah, this is good. I'm going to enjoy this. Although I did think she started off a little bit shaky in her vocals and her singing. Mm. But you can tell that was just nerves. And then she got into it. She properly belted it out. Loved the costumes. Loved the dance. It was almost like a catwalk,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Really, really good.
I did.
Nice little bit of use of the wind machine. I was expecting a key change, though. No key change.
Yes. Where was the key change?
I was about to say, like, with the choreo and stuff, I was like, someone's been watching Pose on BBC.
That's what I wrote on my show plan. Has Charlotte been watching a box set of Pose during lockdown? Because that's what it felt like. You're absolutely right. It's catwalk. It's opulence. It's luxury. That's the kind of vibe they were going for.
Vogue, darling. Vogue. Very nice.
Definitely.
Which is fantastic, because it's a wonderful bit of, like, it's its own kind of campness in a way.
Oh, yeah. Absolute. Massively camp. And it's delivering what a large part of a fandom wants. I was slightly concerned that I know it's supposed to be like a shard of diamond behind her at the stage, but when she was standing in front of it at the beginning and you couldn't really see the full thing, it did kind of look like a coffin, I'm afraid. And she's squealing, I'm still young!
It's the shape.
I'm not dead yet!
Don't bury me!
It just turns into Monty Python, just be like, I don't want to go on the cart!
But yeah, absolute schlager banger, exactly what we need right now, I think. We were all hoping this is what we would get from her, and absolutely delivered in spades, really happy. So we start on a high, and well, things can only get better, surely. Song number two, Emil Azagord, Everything Itself. Mark, what did you think?
Okay, I'm going to start with the positives, okay? Because, you know, they always say you should deliver a bleep sandwich when delivering news, don't they?
Oh, yes.
Yes, so I'm going to say, I thought he was very cute. very kind of like very Swedish in his look. I really liked his lisp, actually. I thought that was really kind of like a nice little, I don't know, it was, I know obviously it's something he can't help, it was endearing. But then it's just like, what? I just don't need to have instruments on a stage when you're doing Eurovision. I just don't see the point of it. And the verses of the song were just so meh. It was sing speak all over again. But then there was a key change and the chorus was fantastic.
Yeah.
But everything else was
meh.
I think there was some, I think in terms of having like the instruments on the stage and the way he was dressed, he was going for this almost kind of, it was almost kind of like 21st century Freddie Mercury-ish. Cause it was very like kind of the microphone, fist in the air, the gold jacket. It was very that. The music style was very different.
Yes. Shall I tell you who he reminded me of? It was not Freddie Mercury. It was Chesney Hawkes.
Oh my god. I did love the jacket.
Well, there we go.
I did really like that jacket though.
I want that jacket. He sold the performance, but the song was doing nothing for me, really.
I struggled. I have to admit, it wasn't like wow. It was, it's okay, kind of thing.
Exactly.
And it's got Penny Whistle in there. I don't like Penny Whistle. I'm getting flashbacks to Emily Forrest.
Oh, dear.
Only teardrops again. Only
teardrops coming down your face again.
Yeah. Also, did you know that you've seen the chorus when it's translated to English? It's got a potty mouth word in there.
Yeah.
Oh. It's the S word.
Yes.
So obviously that would have to be changed. I do admire them for just throwing in the odd swear word and they don't care.
I don't know. Didn't someone use the F word on a Eurovision entry one year?
Robin Bengtsson.
It was Robin Bengtsson, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The original, used the F word, but when it got selected for Eurovision, he did change it to freaking.
Yeah.
I think this one might be a bit of a... To see what word they'd put in to replace that one.
Yes.
On to song number three, which was Clara Hammarström, Beat of Broken Hearts. So, Alex, what did you think of this one?
Well, all I could think was is that if you stuck a bucket on her head, you could pass her off as a sexy Halloween costume of a Cyberman.
It's a bit Cyberwoman, was she?
Yeah, it was a bit like is this Invasion of the Cybermen? Like, what's happening here? But, you know, despite the fact that there was a lot of these kind of excessive hand movements, and she was doing a lot of stuff with her arms that she didn't think she needed to. But I kind of like the song. I thought she had some really good vocals for it. I was thrown off slightly in a very good way when she did the key change. Like I thought she was going to lead into one note, and then she goes into a completely other note entirely, and it was like, oh wow.
But, yeah, I know what you mean.
You know,
but. I mean, she's a returner from last year, so she was entering last year with a song called Nobody. She only came fifth in her heat, so she didn't get out to Second Chance or the final. She's only 20. She's very young. I thought the costume itself looked like a bit of an Alcazar cast-off from about 10 years ago or so. But also...
Oh, my gosh.
Is nobody going to mention the blatant stealing of the Phil Collins in the air drum beat? Did you not spot that?
I've got to say, I didn't notice that.
Now that you mention it.
No, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, now that you mention it, I'm like, oh my.
It is it is an absolute steal.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know what the rules are around that kind of thing. Is it just a drum beat? And, you know, you can't copyright a drum beat as such like that.
Not sure you could do that.
But my goodness,
at all, really. But you know,
if you're going to steal a drum beat, don't pick one that's so well known like that.
Yeah, don't. But then there's been kind of a history of taking, you know, bits from other people's music and putting it into your own. Like, it's not an uncommon thing.
Oh, no, not at all. Sampling
it's
and stuff.
It's not
surprising that someone who's a contestant on, you know, a local, like, national song contest would do it for someone who's, you know, famous on a global level.
Mm. I know what you mean. I basically, my summing up of it was low-key bangs if a tad generic.
Yeah.
This is about the best I can say for that.
I thought it was great. I have to admit, I really enjoyed it. But I hated the outfit.
Yeah.
There we go.
The outfit did nothing for me.
Okay, so on to song number four, which was Moustache with Contagious.
Moustache.
Oh, shaking your head, Mark.
No.
Not ideal.
In this really big, like, heavy metal, hard rock, like, serious, like, sort of, like, band. And then they come out with lyrics like, laughing is contagious. Times we're living in are dangerous. I was like, oh, come on. Really?
Yeah, you're talking at the English translation. Oh. Like, it probably sounds better in, like, it will sound better in, you know, in Swedish.
Mm-hmm.
But they sung it in English, didn't they?
Yes, it was all sung in English. I know what you mean. I'm struggling to say something positive about it because it's just not my taste.
I'll say this. No. It, as far as a tune goes, it's your standard sort of heavy metal kind of song. It's not awful. It's just groundbreaking. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's by the book.
Yes, it makes complete sense. Yeah, I wrote in capital letters, filler.
What?
It was almost like they were there to make up the numbers.
I think as well, if you're going to come off as this sort of metal band, try and make it look more. I've said this a couple of times now about how Eurovision bands, even ones who are a bit more using obscure music for it, like metal, should try and at least have a gimmick. If you're going to come on as a metal band, I can't speak for how they felt about it, but I just don't feel like black t-shirts and black jeans are going to cut it. Like, you could have done something just a little bit more, just so it was a bit more memorable.
Mm.
Yeah. I just kind of think they must know. I don't want to come across as shady because I know that for some people this sort of genre of music is a massive thing for them. They love it, and I get that. You know, give me the cheesy pop and lap it up all day long. And I know that's not to everybody's taste. This music is not to my taste, but they must also realize deep down somewhere that they are probably not going to get through. They are probably not going to be representing Sweden. The chances of that happening are slim. But I think one of the strengths of Melfest is it does showcase a huge variety of different genres of music.
Yeah, exactly that. You have to give credit to SVT. At least they realise that, okay, you may not be that successful at Eurovision, not really have a hope, but we're trying to provide an entertaining show here, so we need to present a wide range of styles. So can't knock them for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. No.
Song number five, which was Elisa and Who You Are. When this started, I was thinking it's just another boring ballad, to be honest. Then it kicked up a gear. I began to switch off. I thought it was going to be something that plods along, and it actually didn't. It kicked in, and it had a reasonable beat behind it, and I really actually began to enjoy it by the end as it kind of grew in power.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I mean, in terms of... Sorry.
I thought there was some good staging elements. I thought the dancers sort of emerging from the fog was kind of cool.
True. She's...
At the same time, I did... At the same time, I was also thinking, like, what on earth with these sleeves?
Yeah, I wrote that about the costume. I said, this is an ugly shade of green. for the outfit. I know, I'm not being very kind to her. But I don't know, it's just...
Sorry, that was not the look, Mia. That was not the look.
I don't know, you know. I thought with that outfit and her hair and makeup, I thought she was channeling Agnetha.
Ooh.
From ABBA.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that with the hair, yeah.
I will say, I thought this was a beautiful song. I thought it was... The lyrics, when you were reading in English, she was singing in Swedish. I thought they were really beautiful lyrics. She had a cracking pair of lungs on her. Probably some of the best vocals of the night, I would say.
Mm.
Bar none. She was really, really good vocally. And I don't know about you, Gary, but the effects in the background reminded me of the Howl Around effect from Doctor Who.
Oh, yes.
The opening credits of 1960s and 70s Doctor Who.
yeah, I get that now. I see what you mean.
Great. I really like this song, actually. But I think it was the vocals and the performance and how she sung it that sold it to me. I was a little bit gutted it didn't get through.
Oh. Yeah, I would go with a grower rather than an immediate attention grabber. Yeah. For that one.
Defo.
Okay, we're nearly the end. On to song number 6, Alvaro Estrella, Baila Baila. Oh, what did you think, Alex?
My first things I put down was Ricky Martin called for the 90s. She wants her everything back. Which is to say I didn't like it. Because in Melfest of 2021, we haven't had a sort of, I want to say, a Latin number yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that we've got one in now. I thought it was a good one. I quite liked it. I thought it was a very kind of a bright, very sort of joyful song altogether.
Mm.
I didn't hate it. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was really the token Latin influenced song that they've had almost every year for the last few years. We've had Mendez a couple of times. We had Margaret in her cabana. You know, let's go ape in my cabana. It's bright. It's colourful. It's Latin pop by numbers. It doesn't bring anything particularly new. I thought it was like an Enrique reject, perhaps. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Again, it's covering all genres. It's just about providing variety.
But this is a variety, so I've got good things to say about this one.
Yeah.
I think I would echo what you both said. Bright, colourful, catchy, happy. Yeah, I think Latin music pop kind of thing has probably had its day in the mainstream charts. But, you know, I found myself kind of like bopping along in my chair as I was watching it, thinking, oh, this is, you know, it's happy pop. It's happy music.
Yeah.
And you could totally tell that Krista loved it. Because as he introduced him, Krista did a little dance on the stage as well.
Oh, yeah.
Krista loves Alvaro.
Shall we move on to our?
Why.
We'll move on to our final act for the night, Tusa with Voices. I thought perhaps the most current sounding song of the night.
That's what I was thinking.
In terms of style, I did like... The song was okay. Not something that grabs me. However, there's something very appealing about his voice and them as an artist. That suit they're wearing, this red suit, is amazing.
I loved the suit.
Really love it. I don't know if it's velvet or satin or what. I'm not sure the material. Velour.
I really thought there was something really kind of powerful and really kind of relevant in the song. If you think about a lot of the lyrics that he's saying, talking about, like, you know, but there are the haters. Like, can you hear a million voices? We have a million choices. Lyrics like that coming from a performer who's a person of color, it's so fitting with what's going on in the world right now. I thought it was so Black Lives Matter, and to put that into something like Melfest and make it work, it's got a very kind of good an anthem feel to it, and that's what I really liked about it.
I would echo what Alex has said there, and part of what you've said, Gary, as well. I think the song itself is good enough. I wouldn't say I was blown away by it, but like you, Alex, I was really taken by kind of like the story behind the lyrics. I think it really catches the zeitgeist with the Black Lives Matter movement, which I think is brilliant. And his voice, as you say, there's something about it. It's really grabbing. You really kind of like want to listen. You want to listen to him. You want to listen to him sing. I think his dancing is awful.
Dancing is not great. Like I said before, like, it's very difficult to kind of to bring politics into Eurovision in a way. Because if you think about,
it's not allowed.
And yeah, you think about how it was with I forget who the band was. It was in Israel this year. And I think they were representing, I want to say, Iceland.
Yes.
Oh, Hatari.
When they came and shot up of them holding up the Palestinian flag.
Yeah.
And I think every single one of us, just our jaws just hit the floor, because we knew that to go that political is just,
it's a no-no.
It doesn't sit well.
No.
But something like this, in a way kind of subtle about it, but still gets the message across really clearly.
Mm.
I think that's the way, that is a way you can actually sort of make Eurovision political in a way that works.
Yeah. So, 7 acts performed. Only 2 get to go to the final. And so we had Charlotte Pirelli going direct to finale. Very glad to see that. I thought there was a chance she might end up in second chance. I thought there was no way on earth she was not progressing in some form.
No.
Really good to see that she's straight to finale. A bit like Ovinga now the other week. Schlager, there seems to be a bit of a resurgence. Key Changes are making a bit of a comeback as well. We're seeing that across some of the nations that are picking their Eurovision songs. So it's nice. Obviously,
there's an appetite for it, I think.
And obviously, yes, I'm a Schlager fan, and I know you like that kind of stuff as well, Mark. You like a bit of cheese and stuff. So it absolutely plays to what we want to see. And also glad to see Tusa also got through direct to finale as well. Very, like you said, very good song. The second chances, did you agree with Clara and Alvaro going to second chance?
I think so, yes. I really liked Clara's song. And Alvaro's song just made me feel happy. I was, in a way, I'd have loved it if it had been like a three-way tie, and so they had to take all of them through, because I really liked Elisa's song as well.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it, as I said earlier, I thought it was beautiful. But I think, yeah, I think possibly the right choices were made, but it did make me realise that all four songs that went through are all English language songs, aren't they?
Yes.
They are.
Just checking now. Yes, they are all English language.
It is. Yeah. It
is. Is that is that a bad thing?
I mean,
it's incredibly difficult, I think, to get a Swedish language song to progress in this competition, because you do know it won't go. It's unlikely, I should say, to go to Eurovision in Swedish. It will probably have an English translation.
Yeah.
But I do like some Swedish language songs. I think it's a beautiful language, and it is a shame sometimes that we don't get as much of a representation in the finals as perhaps we should. Wow. That is semi-final number three. We have heard...
Halfway there.
Well, and we've heard 21 of the 28 songs for this year. So there's only 7 more new songs to come. Well, next week we've got Tess from Alcazar coming up as a solo artist. Ooh. So we could be seeing a banger. Shall we wait and see? we do hope you'll join us next week on Melopod as we review semi-final 4. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.